Okay, so two final questions, particularly following up on ASCO, although these are things that have been, we've been seeing stuff coming out for a while in, but just a little bit of an ASCO update. So I've learned that you now call it Rova-T, so I don't have to try to pronounce the whole thing, but the antibody drug conjugate, and I see you were part of a paper from ASCO that's an ongoing study, but what do we know right now about this really interesting antibody drug conjugate?
So Rova-T is an antibody drug conjugate. You remember it's got a toxin on it. Its address label is something called DLL3, delta-like ligand 3, which is associated with neuroendocrine stem cells. The frequency of positivity is almost too high for it to truly be just a stem cell marker, but they're getting, and again, it's a continuous variable. For the study, which is just close to accrual, which is called the Trinity study, which is Rova-T given in the third-line setting. It's easy to remember, Trinity, third-line setting in small cell lung cancer. So you've had your topo-1s, you've had your platinum etoposide. We haven't yet seen the data from that. In the earlier studies that we've seen a 30 to 40% response rate. Data in terms of the duration of that response rate, I think, has not yet been very publicly displayed. It's not a walk in the park, because with most of the antibody drug conjugates, what determines their tolerability is how frequently that address label is also expressed in normal tissues, and which normal tissues. So it's not unusual for these things to also be sequestered in the reticular endothelial system. So liver function test abnormalities is not uncommon. Corneal irritation is not uncommon. So I think we just have to wait and see. How can we totally explore this in small cell? And one of the things they're looking at is actually looking at in the first line setting. And you can do that in one of two ways. Either you get your standard platinum etoposide and you go into it for maintenance therapy, so you don't have to worry about too much interaction with the drug. In the study that I'm leading together with Christine Hahn from Johns Hopkins, we're also looking at the other options too. What if you had the Rova-T first and then went on to platinum doublet? What if you combined them together? And there's an element of phase one in that too.
But have responses to just this single modality of treatment, clinically significant response has been observed. Have you had any patient with clinically significant response?
Yes. And so Charlie Rudin presented some of this, I think, at ASCO last year, mostly showing response rates rather more than duration of benefit. And I think that's going to be something that we're going to want to look at in the future. But I've certainly had patients who seem to be refractory to lots of other stuff who have responded. Of course, the other thing coming into that small cell arena in that space, and maybe even the second line space, is combination immunotherapy. And that may become the de facto second line option more than even topo 1. Indeed, ipi-nivo is actually listed in the NCCN guidelines, even though it's not FDA approved.
That was actually my last question. And I saw that you were actually involved in a paper, again, an oral presentation at ASCO and non-small cell, looking at that combination. But also there was data in mesothelioma and non-small cell lung cancer, I think, on this combination. What did we learn at ASCO? You know, you see this obviously in a lot of cancers, melanoma, it's actually approved. What do we know about this in small cell, non-small cell, and mesothelioma?
So let's do small cell to begin with. So small cell is very interesting, very high mutation burden. I mean, almost every case is unique to itself when you actually drill down to the whole genome sequencing. Very low level of PD-L1 expression, something like 80% are PD-L1 negative. If you just give monotherapy with nivolumab, you're getting 10-ish percent response rate. We're getting something like a 30% response rate, 25 to 30% with ipi-nivo. So that's why they're pushing the combination more than the monotherapy signal. And certainly I've had some patients who've tolerated it amazingly well, and I've got at least one patient who's now 14 months with a complete response. You know, does it push up the side effects of the combination? Yes. You tend to get a higher rate of grade 3, particularly diarrhea, but it's not a deal breaker for some people. Indeed, it's not a deal breaker for most people. People have also looked at that combination in non-small cell lung cancer, and indeed it's one of the other things that could be moving into that first line setting. So for those people who don't want a chemo-immuno combination, what about an immuno-immuno combination? Matt Hellman's presented some nice data where, you know, they're getting response rates, which again go up depending on your PD-L1 status in non-small cell lung cancer. They're getting something like 70, 80% response rate in the high PD-L1s, small numbers, getting about a 40% response rate for the kind of lower PD-L1 expressing numbers. So it's an interesting potential, and there are phase 3 studies looking at that as a potential first-line combination in non-small cell lung cancer, and we have to wait for those to read out.
In what situations, if any, are you using this combination outside a trial setting?
The only one I'm using it outside of trial setting is I am actually using it in small cell. I'm using it in the second line setting.